you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's Ben Jarofsky Show is brought to you by SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana. The Chicago Federation of Labor are sponsors, as well as Chicago Teachers Union and Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for all things there is to know the city of Chicago, where to go, what to do, what to eat, what to drink, what kind of pot to smoke, and so much more, including columns from our very own Ben Jarofsky. Ben, tell us about your latest column in Chicago Reader.
Oh, man. Chicago Park District, come on. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, come on. Powers that be in the city of Chicago, come on. You've had allegations of sexual assault and sexual harassment at the Park District Lakefront for over a year, losing track of time, D. Well over a year. And you haven't, what? You're still investigating it? Who are you protecting? So I followed up on some of the stuff that Danny Mealopoulos, the great Danny Mealopoulos of WBZ, is reporting. Just sort of like put it together, everything he's uncovered. Got to give him the huge shout out. And it's just breathtaking that in the city of Chicago, that's supposedly the most liberal city, the most open-minded, progressive city in the country, or one of them, that has no tolerance whatsoever, D, for violence against women, would just look the other way while these allegations sit there. So that's what I wrote about. And I connected it, of course, to just the whole mindset in this city, which whatever the powers that be say, we go with. We do whatever they say. We don't want to get in trouble with the mayor. We don't want to get in trouble with the powerful head, Mike Kelly, head of the Park District, or Avis Lavelle, who's the president of the Park District Board. That's the Chicago mentality, D. So that's what I wrote about.
Check it out, everybody, ChicagoReader.com, and check out the endless, and I mean endless, the guy's been doing this for like 30 years, archive of Ben Jarofsky articles from the Chicago Reader. Go check it out, ChicagoReader.com. If you want to get there more quickly, ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. Yeah, go check it out. There you can also find the archive of shows. Let's see here. I'm trying to see. Yes, we do have our September 8th show. Kathy was asking on the live stream chat. Our September 8th show is posted ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. It's called Back to the Past, Monroe Anderson and Jason Lee. Go check it out along with the thousands of episodes of the Ben Jarofsky Show, over a million downloads. Go check it out, ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. Also, you can become a Ben Head. All right, the Ben Jarofsky Show starts right now. It is Friday, September 10th, and live from my apartment and his attic, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show's Oh What a Week. Let's meet Sully.
Sully.
And now your host. We've met him before. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Andrew Yang to launch a third party Friday, and here's why. Because Andrew Yang is launching a third party. We're going to get... So, oh, what a week. We're going to get to it, but I just got a... Frank sent this to me right before I went on the air, D. Right before I went on the air, I got this text from Frank. Frank, thank you so much. Andrew Yang to launch a third party. D, it's in Politico. I'm not quite sure how to read this. I'm just shaking my head. And then in the article, it says, he's promoting a book. He just came out with a book, which I think the title of the book is I'm a Cool Guy, Please Buy My Book.
They took your title of your future book coming up.
Yeah. Please buy my book. I'm broke. Actually, Andrew Yang is not broke. He's a very successful businessman. But anyway, so one of the testimonies, I was reading this article that Frank sent me. One of the testimonies comes from Mark Cuban of Texas, Dallas Mavericks owner. He goes, great book. You got to read it. I'm like, did Mark Cuban actually read this book, D? You know what I'm saying? This is one of my favorite peeves. I don't believe it.
Shark Tank. You know, guys, he's the man.
I don't believe you read the book, Mark Cuban. I know you're pals with Yang and you share the same centrist viewpoint and you don't want to go as batshit nutty as the right. We'll get into this when we talk about Sully, the new candidate for governor for the Republicans. You don't want to go full MAGA. Okay. You just don't want to go there. But at the same time, you don't want rich guys to have to pay more in taxes. So you got to figure out some kind of middle ground. You know what I'm saying? So you have to just like concoct some worldview that is really just a cover, an attempt to cover up your desire to protect your income from taxes. That's what it's all about. And it's not a successful, I'm just throwing this out there, Andrew Yang, Mark Cuban. It has not worked anywhere with any candidate, the centrist point of view. All right? It just doesn't work. The notion of a third party being successful in the United States from the centrist point, I just don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen, D. I just think it's another, it'll end up selling a lot of books for Andrew Yang, but I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, that popped on my screen right before we came on air. I just had to discuss it because I know we're about to take the deep dive on all the local news of the week, local being the entire state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. Without further ado, I turn things over to the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois, that Altonians love to call the River Rat.
No, no one calls me that. I like all those other nicknames you've gave me better than the River Rat.
You know, I think Jimmy Connors was the River Rat. Do you know who Jimmy Connors is?
No.
Oh, my God. So young, folks. He's so young. Jimmy Connors was one of the greatest tennis players of the 1970s and or late 60s, I want to say. And he's from Belvedere, Illinois. He's from some town down. I should look it up on the internet. You know, hey, Frank, if you're there, do me a favor. Look it up and let us know. He's from some downstate town on the Chicago River. Man, am I located in Chicago. The Mississippi River. Yes.
What is this? Get every listener to stop listening day on the Vendrosky show with this boring news anyway, you're delivering here?
I didn't mean to call you the River. I just popped in the head. Anyway,
so you're no longer in the Yang gang? You're no longer in the Yang gang?
He was number five on my list. Remember the great summer of 2019?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He was five on my list for a long time. First of all, I liked it because he never wore a tie during debates. I was like, come on, it's my guy. He's not wearing a tie. I hate ties. But, time is not, in my humble opinion, done well to his reputation. He got bombed. Oh, my God. He was got in the primary for mayor of New York. I don't know if you followed that, but he did not do well in that one. He was running to the right. He was like a Rahm campaign. So, I don't know. He's not as bad as Rahm, but no, not a huge fan, politically speaking, of Andrew Yang.
Well, I'm listening, Mr. Yang. You may have my support. I'm for it. Yang gang. I'm in it now.
Well, go buy the book. That's really what it's all about.
No. Unlike Mark Cuban, I'm actually not going to read the book. Well,
that'll at least you're honest. Yeah. Unlike Mark Cuban, I love this book.
I got a feeling he's like a billionaire. He's like really rich. I bet he got there by reading books. I'm sure he read the book.
You talking about Cuban?
Yeah.
Mark Cuban got really rich in computer. He's really smart with computers. I forget what he did. Made himself a fortune. Listen, let me just tell you. We're at a tangent with a tangent. I avid book reader. And maybe it's just me. Reading a book requires a dedication of time, concentration, and energy. You know what I'm saying, D? It's like Mark Cuban, Rahm Emanuel, Andrew Yang, these are busy, busy guys. They're running around the world. They're making deals. They're doing TV shows. You know what I'm saying? They're constantly tweeting and making phone calls and texts. I don't see them having the time or giving themselves the time to sit down and just focus on a book. Just saying, D, just throwing that out there.
By the way, Mark Cuban got rich off of he was doing like live streaming sports before that was a thing online, like taking sporting events and being able to watch them live on the internet. And they sold to Yahoo, and then he sold all of his stocks from Yahoo before Yahoo like crashed. So that's
you know what? Thank you for telling me that. I did not know any of that. Yeah. And again, I applaud Mark Cuban for his, you know, his canny business sense. Is that a nice way of putting it? His timing was perfect. He's great at branding and promoting. Give him a lot of credit for that. And I enjoyed it when he was sparring with Donald Trump, but I do not believe he's the kind of guy that sets aside time in his day for quiet reading. I'm sorry, just don't believe it.
All right, well, I'm not dying on this hill. We're just going to keep going, all right?
Let's go.
Hey, Dennis here. Let's find out what happened in Chicago and or Illinois this week. And this would be the time I would say we begin in Illinois, and we begin with Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and then I'd play one of these J.B. Pritzker sound drops.
I'd love to win a Grammy. The enemy is you.
And for the record, I love puppies.
But the governor has had kind of a low-key week. But he did get a new gubernatorial challenger. More on that in moments. But let's find out what else happened statewide. An energy bill has been approved. The Illinois House on Thursday approved an energy policy overhaul that would set a path to a carbon-free future while also putting customers on the hook for a nearly $700 million bailout of scandal-plagued Commonwealth Edison's parent company. With 71 votes needed, the measure passed by a wide margin, 83-33. It now moves to the Democratic-controlled Senate, which must approve the plan before it heads to the desk of one Governor J.B. Pritzker.
I'd love to win a Grammy.
Okay, we heard you the first time. Pritzker has already vowed to sign the historic bill as soon as possible, because according to Pritzker, our planet and the people of Illinois ought not wait any longer. Presuming the legislation reaches Pritzker's desk as anticipated, WBEZ's Dave McKinney and Tony Arnold report that it arguably would represent the single biggest legislative accomplishment for the first-term governor, who in 2018 campaigned on a green energy platform and is ramping up his 2022 reelection bid.
Well, I'm going to start by dealing with Dave McKinney's assertion. Dave, you know, I love you. You did a great job of reporting for BEZ. I think the legalizing reefer.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think legalizing pot was is the top thing.
Yeah. I mean, how soon they forget Dave McKinney. Come on. Give him credit for that. That was a pretty big deal. The war on drugs was absolutely devastating. Now, McKinney, I'm going to have a debate where McKinney's going to come back. But Ben, climate change is destroying the world. You raise a good point, McKinney. Look, I've like made this debate between Dave McKinney and myself over this non-issue. I'll concede it's a big legislative victory for Pritzker. I'm not, you know, why am I not jumping for joy over this? I mean, I love the goals, you know, to reduce our dependency on fossil fuel. I love those goals. Close down some of these really high polluting coal plants. I love every single one of these goals and initiatives. And the fact that Republicans are crying. I don't know. Did you see this part of the story, D? The Republicans are crying. Somehow or other, just when Republicans are crying, I'm smiling. Because they're not really crying, guys. I hope there's somebody out there who actually believes the crocodile tears of the Republic. Come on, guys. You're too smart for that. Now, I know you believe every stupid thing a Democratic mayor of the city of Chicago tells you. Okay. I understand that. But you're too smart to fall for Republican crocodile tears. Some Republican, I think, I can't remember which one, was saying, oh, here it is. I know. I see pictures in the Sun Times, D. Can you see that? There he is.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm showing Dennis. Of course, nobody else can see it. State Representative David Welter of Morris was frustrated because Republicans were shut out of the energy talks. Oh, poor baby. I don't know why any Democrat talks to any Republican these days. Hey, Republicans, you see what your counterparts are doing in Texas? You think any Democrats were consulted in Texas before they passed that insane anti-abortion law that deputizes citizens to arrest like the Uber driver who takes a woman to get an abortion, or the friendly next door neighbor who's taking care of her friend at a moment of stress and need? Do you think you consulted any Democrats on that? Did you call up the head of the Democratic Party in Texas and say, hey, Billy, what do you think about this bill? How can we change this bill to make it more acceptable to you? And Billy would say, well, why don't you start off with the 6-week deadline on when a woman can get an abortion? Because most of them don't even know they're pregnant. No, none of them know they're pregnant up till 6 weeks. Why don't we just start with that? You think any Republican did that? What's your name? David Welter of Morris? No. Republicans have power, they use that power to shove down the throats of the American people whatever they want to shove down their throats. They don't sit around worrying about bipartisanship, bringing Democrats along. They count votes. If they have enough votes to win, they use every one of those votes to win. And then they get moderates to vote along with them by threatening to primary them. That's why there's only two, count them, two Republicans that anybody can name in this country who's taken a stand against MAGA. One, Dennis's favorite congressman, Adam Kinzinger. Two, Liz Cheney of Wyoming. So whenever I hear a Republican in the state of Illinois crying, they used to do this all the time with Madigan. Our guy, D, just on a tangent, our guy, we have it there somewhere. What's old boy's name from downstate who threw the paper in the air? He's now a congressman.
Mike Boast.
Yeah, Boast. I'm sick of it. Remember that?
Do I remember that? Of course I remember that.
I'm sick of it. Every year we give power to one person.
Oh, Boast. What about power to MAGA? If Boast were so courageous about the people who overtook Congress on January 6th. Oh, if Boast would get to the floor and throw paper in the air. I'm sick of it. So, no, I don't believe one word that comes out of the Republican mouths when they're sobbing that they were left out of this process. And still a bunch of them voted for it, D. I think about 11 did. I don't know. My math may be off. Maybe it was 13. I haven't had a chance.
Get Dan Biss on the phone right now. We got to make sure this math is correct.
Hold on. Carry the two. Add the one. I'm the mayor of Evanston. Did I tell you that, Ben? Dan Biss. I voted for from governor. Okay. Still, I think a bunch of them voted. I don't know how many voted for him. It was in double figures, though. So isn't that interesting? They're all crying and sobbing. They still voted. That's because it's ComEd. They're on the... They love ComEd. See, that's where the Republicans are really struggling. On the one hand, this is going to increase the amount of money that ratepayers pay. They want to say they're doing everything they can to keep people paying for more. Well, actually, that's what they say in taxes. They don't really care about utility companies. You ever notice that about Republicans, D? They're like, I'm against property taxes. But when it comes to utility hikes, I'm not that against it. Why? Good question you ask. Because there's private companies are making the money. Republicans only care about how much you pay when it's government that's getting the money. And even then, they don't really care if the money that government gets is going to them in the form of TIFs and handouts for developers to gentrify, to build gentrifying projects and already gentrifying. Hey, never heard, what's his name? David Welter or any Republican complain about a TIF handout. Well, it's good for business, Ben. It's economic development. So that, you know, I'm not surprised that Republicans voted for this measure because it's giving more money to ComEd. And see, D, that's where, like, I kind of think it's like a bribe. I know that's not a good word to use in the state of Illinois, D. So let me not. Can we just change that when you do the editing?
Yeah, for sure.
Skillfully
for sure.
Change.
I got you.
Remember, yeah, this guy won't save me for anything. Yesterday, I called cicadas. And then I go, just clean that up in the editing process.
No, that was even before the show, and I mentioned it in the beginning. That was fun. Nice little way to start the show.
Guest corrected me.
Up and no. Cicadas.
Now, we mentioned ComEd in the story here, and you can't talk about ComEd these days without talking about Madigan Gate, the time when Commonwealth Edison admitted to arranging jobs, contracts, and payoffs to the associates of one Michael Joseph Madigan. Oh, my. The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times and John Seidel. Federal prosecutors sought to halt fact-finding Thursday in a civil case related to the ongoing bribery investigation involving ComEd that has implicated former House Speaker Michael Madigan, noting it goes to the core of a secret grand jury investigation. A 14-page filing from the feds also notes that in 60 days, the government may have fewer objections to subpoena filed in the case. Meanwhile, a judge also Thursday tossed a separate lawsuit related to the ComEd investigation, finding that it fell short of showing the alleged bribery of Madigan directly led to passage of legislation favoring ComEd. Boy, where's Jim Coogan when you need him? Ben, what the hell did I just read?
I really agree with that last point. The judge, did you say the judge threw that case out? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
I've been arguing that judge must listen to the Ben Jarofsky show.
I love Monroe. Guilty.
That judge loves Monroe Anderson on Wednesdays. You know, you Monroe has good points, Ben. You gotta You can't go too far left.
Tell that Adolfo to watch the language. Guilty.
Oh, my God. Adolfo yesterday.
Like, dude, Adolfo, can we try just the non-curse?
Where did Frank? Frank did the count. What was it?
37. And beforehand, we had a guest talking about how people, this guy's cursing and saying crazy curse words. And then we have Adolfo come on and say 37 F-bombs.
Well, in defense of Adolfo, he didn't call anybody. I don't know. There's a follow-up on the Alderman Jim Gardner story. Who guy's lost his mind? He's so abusive. I watched this show, this segment about him on Channel 2, where the reporter was trying to get an interview with him. Did you see this, D? It was unbelievable. So Jim Gardner, of course, the Alderman, I'm on a tangent within a tangent within a tangent. 45th Ward. We had on the show yesterday Ann Emerson, a chief of staff to Scotty Wagersbeck, finance committee chair and city council. And Gardner had texted some really abusive comments about Ann Emerson, totally just not warranted. And he's done this a lot. He's got this thing with women, man. He just, these abusive comments he makes about them on text, which is different than Adolfo just dropping the F-bomb as an adjective every other 5 minutes, as in effing this and effing that. I love Adolfo. He comes on, his fists are flying. He's telling it like it is. Anyway, but Gardner, so is some unknown, I don't know who the person is, this has been leaking these texts to this neighborhood website, which then get picked up by Block Club, is having a field day. But you got to get Block Club credit. They're like Danny Mealopoulos on this story. They're just going after Gardner and just one after another. Channel 2's jumped in the mix. You know, this, a Chicago media outlet all fired up. And so the report, I can't remember who the reporter was. I apologize.
Flannery.
No, I could see reparations in Louisiana. Flannery, you need reparations in Chicago, too, not just Louisiana, okay? Anyway, no, it wasn't Flannery. Flannery works for Channel 32, all right?
No, crap.
Come on, get it straight, Downstater. It was, I can't remember. I feel bad that I can't remember who the reporter was. I like to give reporters credit for it because nobody else will. But anyway, so this reporter, very diligent, was trying to get a comment from Jim Gardner about his latest text abuse. And she, it was a woman, was like knocking. And they showed her, we knocked on the door. It was really great. They showed her knocking on Jim Gardner's door. Okay, well, let me just say this, folks. He's an alderman. He's an elected official. He's a public official. His door should not be locked. Well, okay, maybe for security, you're going to lock it. But when you see it's just some reporter, you should let the person in. I mean, public official, elected official. We knocked on the door. And then, it's my favorite part of the... Not only did they not let the reporter in, but there was a staffer from Jim Gardner lowering the blinds. And then they lowered the blinds, and they show the blinds being lowered. But they made a point of saying they lowered the blinds because you just want to make sure everyone understands exactly what's going on. They're lowering the blinds. They were lowering the blinds. I mean, really going out of the way. What? You don't want them to look into the room? It's the middle of the day, the sun. You got to lower the blinds? Jim Gardner's a piece of work. Anyway, tangent within a tangent. Back to the judge's ruling. DM with that judge 100%. I believe that those I believe Commonwealth Edison did not have to quote-unquote bribe. That's the word that they've been using, that the prosecutor has been using, Michael Joseph Madigan, to get the legislation passed because Republicans would vote for it. I believe that what was going on is the typical kind of Chicago, what do we call it, you know, socking up, where powerful Republican corporate interests routinely hire law firms of powerful Chicago political bosses because they want to cultivate those friendships, just those alliances. And that's just routinely, it happens all the time. They don't need to. I don't know if we're going to do the Trump story, but okay, I will hold off on that one. So I'll hold off on that. Okay, that nod told me everything I need to know. You don't need Commonwealth Edison to put Michael Madigan's cronies on the payroll to get Republicans to vote for your legislation that gives public subsidies or raises utility rates for your benefit. You don't need to do that. You do that because you think it's a good strategy or something. I don't know why you do it. You just always want to have a friend in Madigan. You don't need it for that particular legislation. And they certainly, this one that passed gives them a whole bunch. This is what I was saying, D. I'm like, should I be so happy that Commonwealth Edison is going to get even more of my money than they already do? And yet, you know, it's like, well, this is so weird, D. They're like, if you don't give us this money, we're going to shut down this nuclear reactor. I know that I'm exposing my age, D. I know I realize that, but I remember a time, you're not going to believe this, when lefties were against nuclear power. I am not making that up. 1979, 1980, there was a movie called The China Syndrome. You ever see that movie, D?
No.
No. Actually, it's a pretty good, well, I don't know if it stands the test of time. Jane Fonda, Michael Douglas. I think Jack Lemmon was in the movie too. Don't quote me, D. And there was a movement, no more, no nukes. And now here we are in the state of Illinois. The Democratic controlled legislature and the Democratic governor are have cut a deal that environmentalists are cheering and unions are cheering, where they give more money to Commonwealth. That isn't to keep going. It's nuclear plants going. I'm not quite sure what to make of this. We got to bring Mike Novak on. Right? Mike Novak will explain it all. Anyway, D.
And, you know, my apologies. forgot to do Song of the Week at the beginning of the show. Frank gave us a Song of the Week. We're going to knock it out right now. Your Song of the Week is Traveling Band by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Hey, little traveling band, wow, wow, we're going to do your hand. Boo, boo, boo. Hey, little, woo. Yeah.
Oh.
That's the drum at the end. You know how they go... Woo! All right. Love playing the Illinois State Fair, everybody.
There you go. That was our Song of the Week there. And also HM Chicago on the live stream chat. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, HM. Oh, my God. Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah, I didn't want to throw him in jail.
Yeah, don't have that much fun. Actually, hold on. Let me give you the proper one here. Happy birthday, HM. How old are you today, huh? Why don't you tell us? Let us know how old you are.
He's really young. I met him at First Tuesday. He's a great guy, and he's young. He's very young, D. He may be younger than you, which is impossible, but it may be true.
Mm. Well, I couldn't find the party noise, so don't get in too much trouble.
Couldn't find the party noise. Let's go back to the jail cell closing sound.
All right.
Here, how about my cicadas sound?
Oh, there we go. Point that out to the listeners. That's great. All right. Now time for a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
This is a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This week, a new Illinois gubernatorial challenger has come forward. Yes, someone is crazy enough to run against the billionaire Democratic juggernaut known as J.B. Pritzker. Now, before we meet the latest candidate, Ben, let's run through the gubernatorial hopefuls we have thus far. All right?
All right.
All right. Something we do quite a bit. We just want to make sure all of our listeners are on board and know who exactly is, quite frankly, dumb enough to run against this billionaire. All right. First up, who's going to feed them hogs? He's the hog farming downstate senator. He's Darren Bailey.
Hey, friends, are you ready for government to dictate and control your lives again? You're one step closer. J.B. Pritzker, our tyrannical governor, just issued more mandates today. Friends, that's not right. That's not what government is about. Government is to inform and educate. We decide. God bless you.
Lock them up.
Wait, hold on. DB, what about mandates in Texas to say women can't have an abortion? Are you against those? Are you against mandates? Huh? What about those mandates? Huh? What about the mandates in Florida that say localities can't mandate masks? What about those mandates? You against those mandates? Huh? What'd you say? Huh? Awfully quiet there, DB. Sorry.
Hey, friends, are you ready for government to dictate and control your lives again? You're one step closer. J.B. Pritzker, our tyrannical governor, just issued more mandates today. Friends, that's not right. That's not what government is about. Government is to inform and educate. We decide. God bless you.
God bless you, too. I found that on Instagram.
We disinfect. Good research, by the way. Good going. Are you following DB on Instagram now?
I just catch him, you know, when I Got to write news for the segment. You know what I mean?
You have your DB. I have mine. Yuli. Follow him on Instagram all the time.
Thanks.
Anyway, control your lives. That's what he did. How could a Republican say control your lives in a sentence denigrating a Democrat, knowing what happened in Texas? Knowing what happened in Texas. They have outlawed abortion. They're going to start throwing Uber drivers in jail. Well, not throw them in jail. Fine them. Punish them. $10,000.
Darren Bailey hails from Xenia, Illinois. And at this moment, he is considered the front runner for those against Governor Pritzker. Here's the info from Bailey's website. BaileyForIllinois.com. I went to this, Ben. It says here on his website, Darren Bailey is a farmer, family man, and fellow citizen from rural Illinois. Darren Bailey's conservative roots run deep. Today, Darren and his sons own and operate Bailey Family Farm. He grows corn, wheat, and soybeans. Darren is grounded in the conservative values of hard work, individual liberty, and social responsibility. He knows that these precious freedoms are threatened every day by big government and powerful career politicians. He said today there is a political class that is ignoring our values and harming American families. Illinois needs a leader that is one of us. Darren Bailey has high hopes for Illinois and is running for governor to protect the freedoms of the freedom sacred to all that call the land of Lincoln home. He will boldly and courageously stand for you. You, Ben, the citizen.
DB, I just want to point something out to you. You say you stand up for individual liberties. Just want to point out, what about the liberties of women in Texas? What about those liberties? Those liberties don't count? Maybe you missed the news. I don't know. But they outlawed abortion in the state of Texas, the deputized citizens to throw Uber drivers in jail. What about the rights of Uber drivers just to drive somebody from point A to point B? Are they supposed to ask the person, where are you going? Are you going to an abortion clinic? Like, what is businesses of the Uber driver? What about the privacy rights of the passenger? Just asking you, DB, Mr. Liberties and precious freedoms. What about the precious freedoms? How about this one, D? I just saw this in the newspaper today. There was some teacher. I forget where it was. I wish I could remember. It was a teacher. I want to say Missouri, but don't quote me, who had a gay pride flag in his classroom. You see this one? He ultimately had to step down. He ultimately quit because he's getting so much grief for it. What about his precious freedoms? DB? Huh? Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and answer for Darren Bailey. Well, hell, I ain't running in Texas or Missouri. I'm running in Illinois.
Oh, I see. I see none of the precious liberties being eroded everywhere. Then good. If that's the case, I do not want to hear one word from you, DB, about AOC or any of the radical Democrats in Congress or who? What are the other Democrats they use to scare? Bernie Sanders. I want to hear one word. Concentrate only in Illinois. That's it. Only in Illinois. I do not want to see you go out of the state for fundraising. I do not want to see you bring in Donald Trump or anybody out from outside of Illinois to support your campaign, if that's your position, DP. What's that you say? Habita, habita.
Hey, mm-hmm. Huh? What? Who's going to feed them hogs? I got to go.
All right. Mm. What?
This water is delicious.
Oh, it's water. Okay. All right. Time for our next candidate. We learned about Darren Bailey. Up next, he's the parking lot prodigy. He's Gary Rabine, and man, I want to call him Rabine every time I see it. Thanks, Ben. Now, if you learn anything by looking at his website, RabineForGovernor.com, it's that Gary Rabine is the owner of Rabine Paving Company, and this guy apparently loves his family. Here's a quick rundown of Gary Rabine's top issues running in the gubernatorial election. Cutting taxes. Public safety. Gary has heard stories from so many Chicagoans about how they're scared to walk to the store or to go out at night. These stories are one of the biggest reasons he's running for governor. We can't be a great state if our citizens are afraid to leave their own homes. Restoring public safety will be a top priority. Bringing back jobs is also on his list. improving education. Gary is the product of a public high school and no college education. By learning multiple skilled trades in high school, he was able to bypass college and start his career at 18 in the paving and landscaping business. Also noted on his website are Second Amendment and pro-life.
Pro-life. Huh. Well, it'll be interesting to see his thoughts on the Texas law outlawing abortion. Gary Rabin. And yes, it's true. I was the one who called him Rabin. I am guilty of that. And I am the one who planted that pronunciation of his name in Dennis's brain. And I want to give a shout out one more time to Eric Zorn, who corrected us. Eric was the one who corrected us. It's Rabin. Somehow or other, I still want to call him Rabin. Come on. Listen, this is the gentleman I'd like to point out who, when he announced his campaign, we were very close to the January 6th insurrection, and that was the big issue of the day. Seems to have faded a little bit. You notice that, D? And Republicans throughout the country were not quite sure how to handle that. You know, should they stand up against the mob that overtook Congress? Should they denounce Donald Trump, who instigated the mob? And if you do that, there's a good chance that you'll turn off MAGA, which controls the Republican Party and does not view the mob as a mob and does not view Donald Trump as an instigator. And in fact, thinks that somehow or other Nancy Pelosi is responsible for that insurrection. I guess Nancy Pelosi was the one giving the speech. Yeah, I must have missed the Nancy Pelosi speech on January 6th. So when asked about it, what did Gary Rabin have to say? He goes, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to answer that question. Was Donald Trump responsible for that? It was the question asked to him was, did Donald Trump win the election? And was it stolen by Joe Biden? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to answer that. Well, if you're not smart enough to answer that, how are you smart enough to figure out how to tackle crime? Gary Rabin. D, why do I have such a hard time with that? You know, I have a hard time with that. And I know I could just, it's like I see the name, folks. Anybody out there who has dyslexia and knows what I'm talking about, you see the name and you're talking and you're coming closer to the name, and in your mind you're thinking about what you're saying, but you're also seeing that big rock out there, which is that name, and you're getting closer and closer and closer. Do you just avoid the rock by not saying the name, or do you take the chance?
Well, I say the hell Ray with it. Let's just call him Ray Bean from here on out.
Ray Bean? Okay. Yeah, split the difference.
Yeah.
Six of this, half dozen of the other, half dozen of this, six of the other. Yeah, that's a good compromise. Let's run it by Eric Zorn, see if he's good for that. Ray Bean.
There we go. And that's Gary Rabin. Oh, and I tried finding good audio of Mr. Ray Bean, but all I could find was audio of him playing ping pong with one of his supporters, so. Oh, get him! Come on, Ray! Bean! Oh, there we go. One hell of a ping ponger, that guy.
He smacked that ball.
Seriously, that's all the audio I could find. On to our next Illinois gubernatorial candidate. Our next Illinois Republican gubernatorial candidate, not Detlef Schrempf, Paul Schimpf. Not that guy from the Three Stooges either. This is Paul Schimpf. Also, no good audio from Mr. Schimpf yet. But looking at his website, Schimpf, the number 4, Illinois.com. Paul was born at Scott Air Force Base in 1971. My mom actually works at Scott Air Force Base in 2021. After growing up as the son of two teachers in Waterloo, Illinois, Paul attended the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. Upon graduation in 1993, Paul was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps. It says here, we have some quotes from Mr. Schimpf. He says, Governor Pritzker has failed us, and Illinoisans deserve better. We can fix what is wrong with our state, but only if we have a governor who will take responsibility and stand up to special interests. That's me. I'm that leader. He says our state still has tremendous potential, but dysfunctional government and failed leadership from the governor's mansion is holding us back. As your next governor, I will provide the common sense leadership we desperately need to fix Illinois. You trusted me to represent the United States in the Saddam Hussein trial and bring the brutal dictator to justice. You trusted me as a state senator to stand up to a special interests and vote against reckless tax increases. Now I'm asking you to trust me as your next governor to renew our great state of Illinois.
Now, I know very little about Paul Shemp. I hope I'm not brutalizing his name. I'm not going to make the Three Stooges joke because Dennis already made it. There was one of the Stooges, Shemp. Anyway, it's a Three Stooges joke. And I will repeat what I've always said. Actually, I keep changing on this point. My favorite stooge is Mo. And sometimes I think I love Larry. I just think of Larry. I'm sorry, dude. Just think of Larry. That bewildered look he gets.
That big hair.
Sorry, Mo. I think I'm going with Larry for today. So I'm not going to say that Paul Shemp is, I like him any more than Larry. But I will say this. Anytime I hear a Republican talk about special interests, I always get a little nervous because I never hear Republicans denounce like real special interests. You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, they're all special. Everybody who's an interest has a specialty that they're interested in, hence the name special interests. But when they say Republicans say special interests, they generally mean unions, generally mean teachers unions. Generally mean, I don't know who else. I mean, like, could vary state to state and district to district, but they never mean anybody like Amazon, for instance. I just picked Amazon out. Amazon gets so much money from the state of Illinois or the city of various municipalities, tax breaks, etc. and so forth, to move their operations there. And then they get the articles in the newspaper, D, X amount of jobs at Amazon. It's like Amazon is saving us. Now, how much money is it costing us to have those jobs? And how much money are the people going to get? Oh, did I see this from Amazon, D? I think it may have been. Don't quote me on this. It's always dangerous when I head down this path where I'm not sure which that Amazon's paying for the college education of its employees. Was that Amazon? Help me out, somebody. Anyway, I saw that. I was going, that's impressive.
Yeah, look for the next podcast from Ben Jarofsky. Don't quote me on this from Ben Jarofsky.
Yeah, don't quote me on this. So I'm just saying, when they say special, they're never talking about the developers got their hand out on the north side of Chicago or the near south side of Chicago. Or in the loop, downtown area. They never talk about them. It's always somebody like who really needs the money. some working class guy. Yeah. Oh, no, a retiree. Special interests. Pensioners. And then they get the pensioners to vote for them. That's the part I don't get. It's a really powerful message. It really works. So you've got some pensioner on the northwest side of Chicago who's surviving on his pension or her pension, and then they'll vote against a fair tax, which would increase the taxes on the wealthiest people in the state to pay for the pensions. I don't like that. I heard that. Well, Phyllis, we have the Phyllis commercial. I haven't heard from her in a while. So, you know, I never hear the Republicans denouncing those special interests. So, well, a little suspicious of any Republican that talks about special interest, Steve.
Well, Ben, you seem to be on the fence here about Schimpf. I got another quote. I'll read that, and maybe this will win you over. I don't know. Let me read it. It says here, Pritzker failed to stand up to corruption. He refused to demand corrupt Speaker Madigan step down after bribery, sexual harassment, and corruption scandals. Instead, he rubber-stamped Madigan's backroom deals and unbalanced budgets. And he's hypocritically flaunted his own COVID-19 rules, traveling out of state, protesting with Chicago Black Lives Matter activists, and partying in Boys Town while forcing the rest of us to stay home.
Wow. Talk about partying. And he got partying in Boys Town. Whoa. What? Man. They talk about dog whistles. That's like a sonic blast. He's partying in Boys Town. Let me ask you this. You're my go-to guy for downstate. You were born and raised in downstate Illinois. Yeah, you live in Chicago now, but in many ways, your heart is still on the Mississippi River and in Alton.
Always and forever.
Oh, yeah. Always forever. Anyway, so are people downstate as like anti-gay as we're sort of led to believe they are? Like when Paul Shemp goes partying in Boys Town. I don't even know what Pritzker was like, what party he was talking about. I can't remember. And like Boys Town right now in Chicago on the north side, they call it Boys Town, is really not predominantly gay. I don't know if it ever was, but it's like one of the most rapidly gentrifying areas of the city. So, but it's just Boys Town. So do you think that will resonate with voters downstate? They'll go, oh my God.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It's called Boys Town.
So are people going to just vote against Pritzker because they have this image of him as being in the gay pride parade or something like that?
I mean, that could help for some of these voters downstate.
Wow. Downstate, I'm just saying, man, you got some issues. There's a lot of gay people. Remember we discussed this downstate with Reefer?
Yeah.
When Bruce Rauner went downstate and goes, I'm against Reefer. And then he suddenly started doing a southern accent. I'm against Reefer. I mean, there's, and Dennis pointed out, he let the cat out of the bag. That there's a lot of people downstate smoking reefer.
Yeah.
And there was the cookie guy who made the best reefer cookies. So it's like, you're not going to win over downstate voters who are just so scared of reefer. I think there's a lot of people downstate, D. Yep. And I think they're not going to vote for Schempf just because he says Pritzker went partying in Boys. Boy, does that. And then, of course, the Black Lives Matter. He was with Black Lives Matter. Whoa. Wait, D, you're my guy. You're my downstate guy. Are there any black people downstate?
Of course.
Okay. Schempf. Do you think black people in Alton are going to be outraged that Pritzker was supporting a Black Lives Matter protest in the city of Chicago? Do you think they are, D?
No.
So, yeah. Schempf, what about the black people in Alton? You don't care about them? What about the black people? I don't know, East St. Louis or Springfield, Carbondale, whatever.
So this quote didn't win you over on Chimp.
No. And now it makes me more convinced than ever that Larry and Curly and Mo would be more qualified to be governor of Illinois than Paul Schempf.
All right. Now let's meet our newest Illinois gubernatorial candidate. And I got to say, just from the get-go here, seems like this candidate is a little harder to make fun of than the hog farmer and the parking lot prodigy. His name is Jesse Sullivan. He's from Petersburg, Illinois. But now he's a San Francisco venture capitalist. He's a fairly young, and I must say, good-looking guy. And judging by his website, he has a catchy nickname. Sully!
I know, it's Sully.
He kicked off his campaign for governor on Thursday with more than $10 million in the bank. His bigwig friends in California, including $5 million from billionaire tech entrepreneur Chris Larson. That's according to the State Board of Elections. Sullivan's campaign also received $4 million from Kevin Tawil, another California tech executive, and Robert and Dorothy King of Menlo Park, California. They gave $1 million to Sullivan's campaign. Looking at Mr. Sullivan's website, he's your run-of-the-mill Illinois Republican. But his fellow Republican challengers seem to disagree. They're going with that California hippie narrative, Ben. So let's read what the other challengers have to say about Mr. Sullivan. Gary Rabin, we're just calling him Rabin now. We don't care. He said the West Coast tech hub's values are not the values of the Republican Party here in the heartland. To defeat Pritzker's war on families, Illinois will elect a candidate who is vested in the culture of small business and families in Illinois, not California. State Senator Darren Bailey issued a similar statement saying Illinois needs a governor who understands the heartland. I'm going with the heartland here. Someone who's made a life here and shares our values. Our so-called cities and their big checkbooks have had their run of things for too long. We think it's time the regular folks in this state have their say. Illinois has more promise and is more conservative than San Francisco, so I welcome him back to our great state and into the race.
Oh, my God. I just those lines that crafted the war on families. Yes, JB. I'm going to say it right now. Let's see if they use it in a commercial. JB Pritzker's war on families. Ben Jarofsky said that. All right, let's see if they use it in a commercial. And it'll be like, J.B. Pritzker is waging war on families. Ben Jarofsky.
The enemy is you.
Oh, God, Illinois, guys, come on. You're way too smart to fall for this. The Heartland message. The Heartland message, where they're what? Obviously against gays, against blacks, against reefer. I mean, if they, you know, the partying in Boys Town, the hanging out, protests with Black Lives Matter, all this rhetoric, all these little beams that they're sending into the brains of downstate voters. You know, yeah, I'm the little guy, and I'm going to have who? DB, Paul Shemp, Gary Rabine stand up for me. But now look, D. Sully, he's got a great nickname. And you're right, he's a good-looking guy. He's in great shape. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of my beloved Bright One, home delivered as always. Looks like he does a lot of running and stuff like that.
Yeah, looks
so
like
good for him.
Looks like a skinny John Cena.
Whoa, he does look like Cena. Very good. Could we edit that so I said it? So I get credit.
Go ahead and say it real quick.
He looks like a skinny John Cena.
All right, I'll get to work on that.
All night, Dennis will be redoing the recording. I got to get Dennis in. But he does look like, hey, that's pretty good, D. Anyway, I mean, I didn't know what to make of this. I read the newspaper accounts. By the way, D, hold on. Whoa, that reminds me. This is a great opportunity to play one of our favorite games that we haven't played in a while. Headline War.
Oh.
Chicago Tribune versus Chicago Sun-Times.
It's called Battle of the Headlines, but that's fine.
Edit it out so we get it right. Okay. All right, so we're going to start with the Tribune's headline, okay? And these two headlines are about Sully, as we affectionately call him, Jesse Sullivan, announcing he's running for governor of state of Illinois in the Republican primary. So here's the headline above Rick Pearson's article in today's Chicago Tribune. There we go. Venture capitalist starts bid for GOP governor nomination. One more time, D. Venture capitalist starts bid for GOP governor nomination. Okay? That's the headline in the Tribune. Here's the headline.
It's to the point. I like it. You know what you're getting into and you're about to read it. Not the, you know, most clever, but it works.
Okay. Very good. And I want you to do this now with your Simon imitation. We pretend that you're Simon from, what was the name of that show?
American Idol. I forget.
American Idol, yeah. He's got a different show now, D. You're way behind the times.
No, so sorry.
All right. So this Sun-Times headline, you're going to need to remember one piece of information. Sometimes very subtle now, okay? You got to remember that Jesse Sullivan currently lives in San Francisco. And a little more help for you, listeners. San Francisco is a city in the state of California. So you need to know that before I read you this headline.
Great, thank you.
Californian dreaming of being Illinois' next Cubs.
Come on, Sun-Times.
Come on, Sun-Times.
Come on,
Sun-Times. Californian dreaming of being Illinois' next gov.
Why are you punishing us with these puns?
And now I will sing. Oh, the Lisa drive, the Lisa drive. California Dreaming. A song originally recorded by the Mamas and Papas. But as
are you singing All the Leaves Are Brown?
No, I think I said dry.
Yeah.
You're looking to me for accuracy and lyrics? We've only been doing a show together for 4 years. You've been hearing me butchering
all the
lyrics.
Leaves are dry. Suddenly,
oh, wait a minute. I want to make sure we're quoting that song accurately. California Dreamin', originally recorded by the Mamas and Papas, but as Dennis will tell you, the by far superior version is the one by Jose Feliciano, and followed by a Bobby Womack's version. Yes, I agree with Dennis wholeheartedly on that. And as Dennis will also tell you, one of his favorite moments from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie that was very popular summer 2019. So popular, Dennis has seen it 5 times.
Yes.
And is that true? Okay, I've seen it 5 times. Anyway, there's a great scene where they play California Dreaming, the Jose Feliciano version,
hey,
not the Mamas and the Papas.
Hey, now. Okay. Oh, and we got one more response here to our newest candidate, Sully. This comes from Mr. Paul Schimpf. And, ooh. Well, we're starting to learn that Mr. Schimpf may actually be a nice guy. He took a more positive approach toward Sully's announcement. Schimpf said in a statement, "Another robust campaign spreading the message that J.B. Pritzker is undeserving of re-election is good news for the Illinois Republican Party." So,
yeah. Here, here. That's taking the high road in Republican politics. But interesting about Sullivan, because his campaign really does remind me in the early days of Bruce Rauner. And he's younger than Bruce Rauner. And he has, his name is completely unknown in the state of Illinois, whereas Bruce Rauner was at least known to big shots in Chicago, like Rahm Emanuel. He's pals with Rahm, and he was a donor to Planned Parenthood, for crying out loud. So people knew who Bruce Rauner was. He gave money to charter schools, so they named a school after him. Nobody's ever heard of Jesse Sullivan, or Sully, whatever he wants to call himself. So, but he reminds me of Rauner, is that he's fabulously successful, rich guy. Made a fortune off of investing in businesses. And now he's going to turn that fortune into a political career with the notion that somehow or other, the success he's had making a fortune in business, which often necessitates firing people, is going to translate into success in running a state. That somehow or other, he's going to be able to use his mastery of finance that has enabled him to become a billionaire to the benefit of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, ordinary people in the state of Illinois who are depending on everything from having their roads paved to having their nursing homes operated, et cetera, and so forth. I have never in my life seen a correlation between the two. I've been following politics for a long time, but that's a very strong resonating theme, D, that there is a connection, that if you're successful in business somehow or other, it'll connect with success in government. Never seen it work anywhere, but a lot of people believe it. A lot of people still support Trump. Well, he's a successful businessman. Well, first of all, he wasn't a successful businessman. Pretty much every business he operated went bankrupt. But nonetheless, that's why they vote. Well, I want him to do to government what he did to business. So that's kind of the vibe he's emanating. And I think that will translate into votes. I think there's a lot of people, particularly in the Republican Party, who go into that. Plus, he's young and he doesn't play into culture wars the way DB does, for instance. So obviously he's like, that's how Rauner's like, I can pick up swing voters in DuPage County and Northern Cook County and moderates in the Gold Coast by promising to cut their taxes. Well, what? I'm not going to be leading the charge against gay rights, abortion. See, here's the problem. Rauner was pro-choice. And so on the eve of his election against Pat Quinn, Rauner and his wife, they were broadcasting the message to women throughout the state of Illinois. I am pro-choice. I am not going to get involved in abortion wars. And that, and ultimately, as you know, folks, you listen to this show, cost him seriously in the Republican Party. He lost Republican support, and it led to Jeannie Ives running against him on that very issue. Sullivan is already trying to avoid that, D, by saying, I'm against abortion. I'm for the unprotected child, but I'm not going to get involved in it, so don't worry about it. Well, do you think if he's a nominee, Terry Cosgrove, personal PAC, is just going to let that one go, D? You think Terry Cosgrove is just going to say, well, he says he doesn't want to get involved in it, so I'm going to let a guy who has been elected by anti-choice activists just slip into office? I don't think so, Sullivan. Before all said and done, you're going to have to take a stand. None of this wishy-washy stuff. You're going to have to take a stand. And JB will be so pro-choice, and Sullivan will be going, I don't know. Everybody will be going, Texas, Texas. Good luck, Jesse, Sully, Sullivan. I think he's probably more at home in that third party that we were talking about. Mark Cuban's third party.
There we go. Yang Gang?
The Yang Gang, yes. I forgot that was a nickname.
Now, but if good looks, a cool nickname, a shit ton of cash, and the other Republicans trashing you wasn't enough, Jesse Sullivan also has a campaign ad. Like a legit one. Like to hear it? Here it go. New Republican frontrunner in 3, 2, 1.
America I love is a shining city on a hill. And for me, Illinois, it's always shined the brightest. But we are failing to live up to that vision. By almost every single measure, our failed political class is driving our state into the ground. Illinois is now known for three things: high taxes, corruption, and crime. You know, we're in debt up to our ears. If you have to pay some of the highest taxes in the entire country, you should at least expect the benefits of a well-run government. But that's not what's happening.
Wow. That doesn't that sound like Rauner? I mean, do you think his downstate accent's more legitimate than Rauner's, by the way?
Horrible downstate accent. More California than Illinois, it sounds like to me.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just take straight out of the Rauner playbook. But do you call them the new Republican frontrunner? I'm just going to speak up for DB. I'm you know what? I'm still putting my money on DB for winning this. Though, to quote Rich Miller, dude's not playing. You know, that 11 million does talk. 11
yeah,
million.
Yeah.
Dollars.
That's why I say the front runner. 11 million. You got like these real produced ads. Like he's competing with JB. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just some guy going on his phone, on his camera, and going, now, hell, come on now, join me.
DB, just heard from defending DB. You. Who would have ever thought I would be defending DB? I say DB is the front runner. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Now we're down here at the Legion. We're down here at the Legion. I need you to come support me. And come on, let's get this Pritzker bozo out of here. Hit stop on my phone. Okay, there we go. Great.
Let me ask you this. Okay. A downstate expert, Dr. D, knows more about downstate than any man in the state of Illinois. A person in Alton, Illinois with a Pritzker sucks sign in his front lawn, is he going to be more likely to vote for Sully in the Republican primary? Or DB?
There's still time. There's still time for the Sully to kind of talk these people off the ledge a bit. That's all I'm saying.
All right, very good. Well, we'll be watching this one, folks, because I can tell you right now, no left of center podcast in the state of Illinois follows downstate Republican politics more than the Ben Jarofsky Show. Back to you, Dr. D.
But wait, there's more.
This fight is about insiders who talk a good game versus us outsiders who actually want to solve problems and deliver results for our neighbors in need. This fight, it will not stop, I promise you, until this era in Illinois of high taxes, crime, corruption comes to an end. So today, amongst all of you, I have an announcement. My name is Jesse Sullivan, and I'm running to be the next governor of Illinois. Yes. Together, let's fight to make Illinois strong. The turnaround of Illinois starts right here, right now.
Wait, was that my Uncle Elton in that crowd?
Wait, I have a question for you, Dennis. You're our expert on election law.
Yeah.
Victor. How can this guy run for governor of Illinois if he lives in San Francisco?
That's a great question.
I got to get an expert. Where's Jim Coogan when I need him? That way, yeah, well, his expertise is not election. We got to get Adolfo in. Oh, the F-bomb will be flying.
I'm Jesse Sullivan, and I have an announcement. I'm going surfing. Wait, hold on.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought their residency. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know the law. I really don't know. So maybe it's possible. You could live in San Francisco and run for governor of Illinois. I wonder where the last time he voted in an Illinois election was. Like, did he vote in 2018 for governor? I mean, he lived in San Francisco. And if he did vote in Illinois, isn't that election fraud? Quick, get Donald Trump on this case.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I just wonder, like, when has he ever voted in Illinois? Ever? As in, ever? He's only 37. By the way, he's a baby. So help me with the math, D. If he's 37, that means he was born in 1984.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. I'm 38. I was born in 83. That was an easy one.
God, am I good. Hey, Biss, come on, huh? I just did that. Calculator or anything. All right, he's born in 1984. That means his first election he could have voted in would be 2002. It all depends on when he turned 18. So 2002 would have been, oh my God, I am such a geek for knowing this, Blagojevich election. So did he vote for Blagojevich? Or did he vote for the Republican who ran against Blagojevich, whose name I Bailey, wasn't it a Bailey or something? No, that's DB. I forgot. I can't believe I forgot the Republican candidate in 2002. Frank, who was the Republican candidate?
Frank!
So really, you know, I'm kind of curious, you know. 2006, did you vote in that election? I don't know if this guy's even ever voted in the state of Illinois, but he wants to be our governor. I don't know. Just saying. That could be an issue, D. You're right. Money can buy a lot.
We got Judy Bar Topinka.
Judy Bar Topinka was 2006. 2006 was Judy Bar Topinka. No, it was Brady.
Brady.
2000. No, Brady was 2010. I'm not a perfect person. I cannot remember who the Republican candidate was in 2002. Man, memory is gone.
Hey, let's ask this. Hey, Phyllis, do you know?
Springfield politicians. They promise they won't tax retirement income if their constitutional amendment passes.
All right, she doesn't know. Is it George Ryan?
No, but it could have been the other Ryan. Jim Ryan.
We're waiting for Frank to give us an answer.
I think it was Jim Ryan. I can't remember. It was some. I'll tell you this. I voted for Blago. Yeah, I voted for Blago, folks. Get over it. I did. I voted for him.
All right. And there it was. Our latest Illinois gubernatorial candidate, Jesse Sullivan. Darren Bailey, you better step it up, pal. Hit that gym. You got some competition and he's easy on the eyes. Jim Ryan. It was Jim Ryan.
And oh, that, wow. How did you know that?
Kathy. She just Googled it.
Thank you, Kathy. Sooner or later, I went back into my brain. I had this problem the other day. It was Adlai Stevenson died, the former U.S. senator from the state of Illinois. He ran for governor twice. And somehow or other, I was doing a recall of Jim Thompson, the former governor, the Republican governor in Illinois. And I erroneously stated, this is not on the show, this is a private conversation, that Jim Thompson defeated Daniel Walker in his first election. I was wrong. 1976, D. But this is just kind of to show you, like, this the conversation I carry on in the show continues in my real life. Like, this is my life, ladies and gentlemen. Obsessing over politics.
And that was a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
This is a 2022 Illinois gubernatorial candidate update.
Good times. All right, now let's talk the news in the city of Chicago. School is back in session, and sadly, this damn dirty coronavirus hasn't gone anywhere. The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times, Nadir Issa and Brett Chase. Just 8 days into the new school year, Chicago Public Schools have officially identified nearly 3,000 students who have been exposed to COVID-19 at their schools, with at least hundreds switching to remote learning and the district facing backlash for reporting delayed and undercounted data. Exactly how many students are in isolation is unclear, as CPS officials have not responded to requests to provide a specific numbers. But a review of emails from individual school administrators and interviews with parents and teachers shows that across the city, scores of elementary and high school students have been forced back to online learning due to a small number of COVID cases. The first week of school, CPS reported 144 confirmed cases of COVID-19, with 2,162 people identified as close contacts. Four schools, Inglewood STEM, Taft and Sin High Schools, and Murray Elementary, each had over 100 people exposed, according to district numbers, and Taft had another case reported this week with 66 additional close contacts. In all, another 17 cases and almost 800 close contacts reported this week means CPS has had at least 161 confirmed positive tests and almost 3,000 people exposed through Wednesday. The data accounts for over 500 district-run non-charter schools. Though nearly 3,000 kids have been identified as close contacts, CPS hasn't said how many children are quarantining. Only those who are unvaccinated are required to stay home for the usual 14-day period this year. In some cases, entire classes have temporarily moved to remote learning while officials could contact tracing, or while officials conduct contact tracing, then some students return to school.
All right. Wow, there's a lot to talk about here in this story. I read three different versions of this story, Dee, this morning. The Sun-Times version, the Tribune version, and I think Shia Kapo's version in the Politico. So what to make of this? You know, I mean, I can't remember which one said pointed out when they put they all highlighted the number 3,000, which is a very shocking number after 8 days. 3,000, that's a lot of people. And then I forget which publication went a little Dr. Awadi and Lori Lightfoot on us and pointed out that it's only 1% of all the people who are in the Chicago public schools, students and faculty and administrators and janitors, et cetera, and so forth, all the employees. I say to Lori Lightfoot and Dr. Awadi because they went out of their way to point out even only 200 people who attended Lollapalooza got COVID. That's a small fraction of the number of people who went there. And Dennis had one of those moments, and I appreciate this, Dee, because it happens to me all the time. You absorb some information and you just kind of read it. You don't have really time to think about it. And you're like walking down the street and you go, wait a minute, 200 people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that happened to me.
And then I remember you called me up and go, Ben, that's a lot of people. I go, I know you're right.
We've been hoodwinked.
Quick. Let's do a special edition of the show. Breaking news. So, you know, they go, well, it's only 3,000. I'm like, 3,000 sounds like a lot. And let's be real, folks. Nobody knows what they're doing here. I mean, really, nobody knows what they're doing. We got this COVID pandemic's been here, and the way to get out of it is to get the vaccine, or at least they'll slow it down. But people don't want to take the vaccine. They think they have a constitutional right not to take it. They don't trust it. Whatever. They don't want to take it. They don't like needles. Who knows? They don't want to take it. Can't force them to take it. We're heading down that road. See where that gets us. So, and by the way, kids under the age of 12 can't take it. So what are you going to do, Dee? It's a highly contagious disease. It's very scary and frightening to the vulnerable population. And I think most people in America have reached the Joe Rogan conclusion. The Joe Rogan conclusion is it's going to kill old people, but it won't kill me. So I'm not really going to worry about it. I do believe, Dennis, that I don't know percentages and population, but a significant number of Americans have come to that conclusion. So I don't know how the city of Chicago can open up its schools in a way that will safeguard the livelihood of the people who work there. And furthermore, the problem is exacerbated by the fact that the people who run Chicago Public Schools, Lori Lightfoot's crew over there, are at war constantly, metaphorically speaking, with the Chicago Teachers Union and the Principals Association. Troy LaRavier was on the show last week. It's like a hostile thing. They're out working together to try to figure out the best way to safeguard students and teachers and principals and janitors, et cetera. They're fighting, looking for talking points, looking for ways to get ahead of the other one. And the powers that be in the city of Chicago want to make it clear. The teachers don't run the show. They're our employees, and you do what we say. So automatic, already they treat them like second-class citizens. So you add that all together, and the dysfunction that always exists at the public schools in Chicago, where there's a high turnover, et cetera. I don't know how you could expect a safe, smooth running operation. And I have to tell you this, Dee, I have the vantage point of being an outsider. My kids are grown up. I no longer have children in Chicago public schools. I would be freaking the hell out. You know me, how scared I am of this. I'd be freaking out if I had kids. You know that, Dee. If I had kids in the public schools right now, so I'm with you, parents. I feel your pain. I also like to point out that other school systems are dealing with the same problem. And I remember last year there were stops and starts throughout the suburbs where they opened schools, closed schools, right, where there were outbreaks. This is before we had the vaccine. And it didn't make the big deal because it wasn't politicized like it is here in the city of Chicago, where the powers that be, the editorial boards, corporate Chicago, and the mayor are waging war constantly on Stacey Davis Gates and the teachers union. What they have against Stacey Davis Gates, who's, I think, one of the coolest people I know, I don't know, but they just dislike her. So that's what's going on, Dee. A very precarious situation made worse by the politics of it.
Well, give me a week, and then I'll probably realize something about this story, and I'll say something about it, you know? By the way, which I have another new theory. You may not agree with me on this, but I'm just going to throw it out there right now. This ivermectin, this horse stuff, right?
Yeah.
So Joe Rogan took it, right? He said his doctor prescribed it, right? Joe Rogan is like a really, really rich guy, like over $100 million with the Spotify deal, right?
Yeah.
How many other really rich guys have taken that horse stuff?
Well, let's take the Joe Rogan. Do you want to take the Joe Rogan deep dive? Take the Joe Rogan deep dive.
Go ahead.
First of all, I have to word this in such a way that I will not blow any opportunity I have to go on the Joe Rogan show, which right now is already what, under 1%. Could you imagine if Joe Rogan goes, let's have this random lefty podcaster in his attic come on my show? But yeah, D, if you were like facing death's door and Joe Rogan was really sick, I mean, I'm just basing what Joe Rogan says about it. Joe Rogan got COVID. He hadn't been vaccinated. For months, he'd been like rolling his eyes at the vaccine, rolling his eyes at COVID. But Dennis was, man, we would talk about this. This is back in the day when we fled our studio. Remember this, D? Back in March of 2020, Rogan was like, F that. Actually, he didn't just say F. He says the real word, ladies. Who swears more, D? Adolfo or Joe Rogan?
Adolfo. Without a doubt.
I think we'll have to do a count on that
No. It's definitely Adolfo.
Joe Rogan dropped the F-bomb on his Instagram post talking about how he feels. I feel fucking good.
Yeah, but Adolfo's just like casually like, hey, how's it going, Adolfo? Oh, it's fucking great. Doing good. How the fuck are you? Like, okay.
Yeah, you got a good point there. I think he may be right. Anyway, Joe Rogan was still doing his show in his studio. Dennis and I ran to my attic. He's now in an apartment. Joe Rogan was like, F that, in his studio. And Dennis and I would talk about it. Like, is he testing people? And I don't know how you had this inside stuff that they were testing people mm-hmm. before they did the show. You knew that. Mm-hmm. So Rogan's always had this kind of dismissive attitude about it because he's come to the same conclusion that most Americans or many Americans have come to, that this is only a disease that old people have to worry about, or people who are not, who like other issues like Parkinson's or what have you, or cancer or whatever. And Joe Rogan is really fit. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of him, folks. He does a lot of weightlifting. Guy is really in great shape. So he just figures, and plus he hunts. Did you know that, D?
No, he's like, of course.
A hunter with a bow and arrow. So it's like, you know, it's just in his mind, it's not going to affect him. And that's kind of the attitude he had. And then he caught it. So it was like Trump, when Trump caught it, and Giuliani, when they caught it. Give me every freaking drug you've got. And I don't care if it's approved by the FDA. I don't care because I don't want to die. He was really sick and they pumped him. He was on IV. I don't know. He rattled him off. That's the other thing about Joe Rogan that I'm impressed with. He really knows medicine well. You ever notice that? He can like rattle off the names of medicine. He rattled them all off on his Instagram post. I'm like, well, ordinary people don't have access to those drugs immediately. I'm just throwing that out there. And right. Your point is well taken. He's fabulously wealthy. And doctors apparently drop everything they're doing and run over to his house. Can you imagine if I got sick, D? What doctor's coming over to my house?
Oh, they're throwing you a thing of orange juice up to the attic from down there. Take this. Did you catch it? Ben,
did you try this aspirin? This new drug we got? It's called aspirin. It may work. So Joe Rogan has a few advantages that ordinary people don't have. But yes, he took the horse pill or the horse medicine.
That's my question, though. Like, so how many other really, really rich people have been taking this and Joe Rogan just kind of blew the cover? You know what I mean?
Anybody who's facing death's door is going to take it. That's a fact. If you're really sick and you have the opportunity, and would you do it, D? Like, if you're Joe Rogan country in terms of money, just imagine we cut a $100 million deal with Spotify. Just imagine that for a second. And as the producer of the show, you got about $10 million of it. Just imagine if you had $10 million and you got COVID. You're really sick. And doctors want to suck up to you to get on the show, are willing to drop everything and come give you whatever you want. Aren't you going to take it? Aren't you going to take everything they got?
Yeah, the doctor prescribed it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that a doctor prescribed it doesn't mean, I mean, doctors were prescribing all kinds of pain pills that Elvis shouldn't have taken, that Michael Jackson shouldn't have taken, that Prince shouldn't have taken. I mean, when you're rich and powerful, the doctors do what you want. There was that doctor, what was his name? He used to go to Elvis's house and shoot him up. I forget the guy's name. So you get doctors. I mean, it's not like you get doctors to do all kinds of things. I'm just saying, I agree with you. I think Donald Trump, well, I don't know if they had it, if it was known drug. Remember when Donald Trump got COVID and mm-hmm. they, same thing. What do you need, boss? Just give him everything.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of other people that have taken that and they're just like being real quiet about it. They're like, damn, Joe Rogan, shut up, dude. What are you doing?
You're blowing it for us. Yeah. Like, you got any extra?
Yeah.
That said, D.L. Hewley, come on, D. You got to love it. He's been doing all this, these TikTok things of people take that drug and they turn into horses and, have you seen those? They're pretty funny. They're actually great. I love that guy. So, yeah. So, Joe Rogan, I don't blame you for taking it. I just wish you were a little more humble. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? I just a little more humility out of you, you know, just acknowledging that you have some advantages that ordinary people don't have. And I'm glad you're doing well. I'm not one of these people go, oh, God, I hope he died. I don't know. I don't. Where are they coming with that, D? You know what I'm saying? It's like, come
on. They get what they deserve. Like, oh, okay.
All right.
You know. I bet people were saying that during like the AIDS thing going on too, and that didn't age well, did it?
Yeah. I bet they say that about you and me. People say that about anything happened to us. There's gonna be haters out there. All right. So Joe, did I do a good enough job of walking a fine line to get invited on your show? I'll bring Dennis with me.
I got an email. Okay, better luck next time, Ben. We'll keep trying. All right, in other news, it's time for another episode of everyone's favorite Chicago political soap opera. It's time for episode 705 of A Mayor and Her Alderman.
A Mayor and Her Alderman.
I want an answer. It's not something you ignore.
I think you're 100% full of shit is what I think. If you think we
want offense, well, fuck you then. Who are you to tell me I'm full of shit?
Never get tired of hearing it, D. When I'm really down and out, you know what I do? I turn on a show and listen to Raylo.
Yes, Michael Girardi. It's episode 705. It's true. Several Chicago aldermen have called for the city to mandate proof of vaccination for people visiting public indoor settings, a move already adopted in other cities like New York. The aldermen said they are writing in support of Chicago requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination for persons visiting public indoor settings like restaurants, bars, movie theaters, gyms, and concert halls. This is according to a copy of the letter sent Thursday. New York City, New Orleans, San Francisco, and Puerto Rico have issued such requirements. In a written statement, they said here, we believe it's time for Chicago to do the same given. Number one, the uncontrolled community transmission of the Delta variant. Number two, the threat of new variants. Three, approaching colder weather that will drive Chicagoans to indoor activities. And four, free and readily available FDA-approved and emergency-authorized COVID-19 vaccines.
I'm with it. By the way, just when you said San Francisco, it drew me back to our last story. Jesse Sullivan, Sully, from San Francisco. How about that at the debate? DB gets on that. They require vaccines, passports to get into a bar in San Francisco. What do you think about that, Sully? That was a horrible imitation of DB.
Hey, come on, Sully.
I just got to tell you, the hideout's way ahead of it. They required it. We did it on first Tuesday. I had to show my... The person at the door says, can I see your vaccination card? I go, perhaps you're unaware of the fact that I'm the host of today's show.
Oh, boy. Steve went Steve Harvey on him.
I went total Steve Harvey, D. Total. Who cares? You're host schmost. If you got the vac, if you got COVID, you could give it to me. Where's the vaccine card? So the hideout way ahead of the game. TBT, Tim Tutton, is way ahead of the game over there at the hideout. So, yeah. And I'm about to start bowling, D. I'm about to go bowling. Look, the league starts up. I know I have my shot and I wear a mask. So I'm a little nervous. So, yeah, I have no problems with it whatsoever.
All right.
But only how many aldermen? I think it was how many had signed it? Does it say not a majority?
Yeah, I would assume it's not a majority.
It's not a majority. So they don't have the the votes, if it were at the city council, it's not clear we'd have the votes to pass. A lot of people still a little nervous. They want to go too far.
Well, and you know, they didn't really list who the aldermen were. What do you say we speculate? Name three of them that you think they were that got this letter together.
Well, I'm going to speculate that my beloved Democratic Socialists would be leaning that way. So Carlos Ramirez Rosa would be one. Byron Cecilia Lopez would be two. And JT, Jeanette Taylor, could be my favorite alderman at the moment. Love JT. Andre Vasquez, who's not a Democratic Socialist. Did Andre sign it? I'm going with Andre signing that letter. Andre doing a lot of basketball these days, D.
So not Jim Gardner or Nick Spezzato.
Nick Spezzato, no. Those are the MAGA aldermen. We're MAGA. We have our liberties and our rights. We have the right to infect you with this disease. No. And by the way, we had this discussion with Adolfo yesterday, the F-bombs flying. I just don't even buy the religious exemption, D. I don't buy a religious exemption. If you have, why religious? What, I don't even know what, why would you give an advantage to, like, let's say you, D, you're agnostic or atheist or whatever. I know you're not a very religious person at all. Maybe you had like some kind of like moral opposition to government forcing you to take a vaccine, but it has nothing to do with religion. It's just some principle that you have. Why should you have less right than a person who says, well, my Christian faith or my Jewish faith or my Muslim faith or whatever, my particular faith prohibits me from having to take this. I don't understand why a religion would give you any more rights than any other person. So I got a lot of issues with the whole religious thing where you can get out the vaccine because you can claim like some religious belief. But our country is so afraid of offending religious. But atheists and agnostics, D, they're the ones who never get elected president. Never, ever, ever get elected president of the United States.
Well, I mean, and if they are, they're not going to announce it. You know what I mean? They're going to lie and say that they aren't agnostic or atheist, right?
Right. And that, could you imagine if Jesse Sullivan, just making this up, because he never in a million years were to say, I'm an atheist. Imagine what DB would do to him in the Republican debate.
Well, I never in my life.
Anyway.
And finally, oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was another episode, a quick one, of A Mayor and Her Alderman.
A Mayor and Her Alderman.
I won't just turn the car around. I'm going to shut it off. I'm going to kick you out, and I'm going to make you walk home.
Ouch. Whoa. Oh, man. We got some tough mayors in this town, D.
And finally, it looks like our former president made the local news. Donald Trump has gotten a $300,000 property tax cut this year because Cook County assessor Fritz Kagi, a guy we had on the show, slashed the value of the Trump International Hotel and Towers vacant retail space along the Chicago River. Trump paid slightly more than $1 million in property taxes last year on the three levels of retail space in the downtown skyscraper. Most of it has remained vacant and left unfinished since the building was completed about a decade ago. His tax bill this year is $698,399 after Kagi's office lowered its estimation of the building's value.
So how much of a tax break did he get? Did you say $300,000?
$300,000.
All right. First of all, shout out to Tim Novak, ace reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's the one who wrote the story that Dennis is citing. The story broke on the internet right before we did the show. I, of course, will read it in my Sunday Sun-Times at the home delivered. So good job, Tim Novak. He's been a bulldog in this issue. We had Fritz Kagi on about 2 weeks ago talking about this, and I'm very disappointed in Fritz Kagi. Really am disappointed. I mean, this is the closeout item on our show. I could deliver like an hour on this, so I'll just boil it down. That $300,000, that break that Trump Tower got, the rest of you will have to pick it up. So I don't know if it could be a penny per house, but whatever. Even a penny is too much more to pay to subsidize Donald Trump's handout. Outrageous. And Fritz Cakey came on the show and said he was going to fight it, oppose it. And I'm just so disappointed, Fritz Cakey, that you've like sanctioned this. Because I'll tell you this, D, here's the issue. They are claiming, Donald Trump, that the building's not worth as much as its market value because they can't rent their commercial spaces. And Cakey bought into that and looked at the vacancies and said, well, we're going to have to bring down the amount your building is taxed at because it's not as worth as much because you have these vacant spaces. And my argument all along has been part of the reason he has trouble renting out his property is that he's got his freaking name on it in huge letters that everyone can see. And it's one of the most reviled names in the city of Chicago. And I think it's really phony and fraudulent to ask the taxpayers to subsidize your vacancies that are brought about because you got that vanity sign up there. And so at the very least, I've been asking two different assessors to do this. Make them take the sign off. If you want the tax handout, take the sign off. If you want that ego stimulation, keep the sign off, but we're not giving you a tax handout. And yet, Cakey approved this handout. I'm very disappointed with him. And he came on the show and he said he was going to be against it. And in general, the principal, he agreed with me that the principal of property owners who let their property slide in value by not fixing it up and then ask for a tax break is not fair, should not subsidize someone's ineptitude as a property owner or their negligence. Well, in this case, you're subsidizing the ego of Donald Trump. Why are we, the taxpayers of Chicago, paying for Donald Trump's ego? So it's either you want the handout, take the sign down. You want the sign, no handout. So really disappointed with Fritz Cagey on this one, D. And get me going. And by the way, his lawyer, this is the other point I was going to make, was not Ed Burke. This is the last point I'm going to make. Ed Burke, the longtime finance chair of the city council, still an alderman, had that property tax appeal business. People would hire, Donnie Trump hired him. The idea of, oh, you hire Ed Burke. He's got clout. He'll get you a tax break. I don't even know who Donnie Trump's new property tax lawyer is, but it's not an alderman. It's not a well-known name. It's like, and he still got the break for you, which goes to show you it's a formula that you fill out. You don't need Ed Burke or Michael Madigan or John Cullerton to get yourself a tax break. You only hire them because you want to influence them. It's got nothing to do with getting a tax break. So the whole story, just like, I'm sick of it. Where's Mike Boss when I need him? Well, someone's calling me, D.
Oh, hey, great.
Springfield politicians, they promise they won't tax retirement income if their constitutional amendment passes. But their measure lets them increase income taxes on every group of taxpayers, including retirees.
I feel your pain, Phyllis, but...
Now, we had Fritz Cagey. You know, I remember you brought this, brought something up about Trump to Cagey. I mean, what did he say? I mean, like, what's going on
here? I did bring it up. And he said, I agree with you, Ben.
That's it?
Yeah. And he was like, and then he pivoted. He did. Look, nobody said Cagey wasn't really smart. The guy's really smart. He's smarter than me. I know that. So he pivoted and he started talking about property taxpayers in general who let their buildings run down and then ask for a break. And we're going to crack down on that. And I was like, oh, okay. Looks like he bought my argument. And then Timmy Novak writes his story. I'm like, are you kidding me? Just came on my show. Boy, do I look dumb. Yeah, you know? And that, you know, where's Phyllis? Chicago politicians, they bamboozle you all the time. Come on, Fritz Cagey. Take a stand. It's not just a matter of the $300,000 that Trump got. It's just the repulsive sign. People hate that sign. Okay, not everybody. Jim Gardner probably likes the sign. Nick Sposato probably likes the sign. Anthony Napolitano probably likes the sign. But most Chicagoans can't stand the sign. And they don't want him getting a tax break, in part because he has that freaking sign up there. So, yeah, he ducked and dodged and evaded and did a great job. And I'm very disappointed with him today, D. Very disappointed.
Well, maybe we should try and get him back on the program to see if he'll come back on, right?
I don't know. I'll reach out to him and see. I'm going to call up his PR guy and maybe we can get him back on. And I'll go, come on, Fritz. Come on. This just totally, totally blows. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I've reached out to him. Let's see. Oh, he's busy. Kagan!
Oh, that's hilarious. That's good, D.
All right, everybody. No, I actually just tried calling him. He was busy. All right, everybody. That's your Oh, What a Week. Let's meet Sully. We met Sully. Ben, what do you think of Sully?
What do I think of Sully? Here's the decision, D. Let me answer that with your question with a question. Who would I vote for one-on-one, Sully or DB? If that were my only choice, I had no other choice. And they were saying you have to choose. I don't know, D. That's a real, real tough. I still don't know how a guy from San Francisco can run for governor of Illinois.
Yeah, we still got to look into that.
Look into that. Last I looked, San Francisco was not in Illinois.
You're looking too California right now, sir. But that is your. Oh, shout out to Michael Girardi on the live stream chat. He says, they're throwing Fritz Kagi under the bus. Screw you guys. I'm going to go listen to John Cass's podcast.
John Cass. Oh, my good. Johnny Cass. Now, Johnny Cass is, let's add him to the list. Michael, one more guy who probably loves the Trump. You know, a lot of people like just run away from the Trump sign. Johnny Cass probably every day goes down to the Trump sign and bows down and goes, thank you. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you.
We got to get to the bottom of this. I'm trying Kagi again. Oh, what the? Busy. I guess that's the show. That's Oh, What a Week. Let's meet Sully. Remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows, Benny J bonus interviews, and so much more. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y. You can find it there or wherever else you download podcasts. If you download podcasts, subscribe. Give us a review. 5 stars only. That'd be great. Tell your friends about the show as well. You can send us an email, BennyJShow@gmail.com. B-E-N-N-Y, the letter J, show at gmail.com. You can reach out to us on social media at Benny J Show, and you can call us 708-658-4788. That number again, 708-658-4788. We would love to hear from you, and hopefully you won't hear a busy signal when you call us.
All right. No busy signals on the Ben Jarofsky Show. I want to thank the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of all Illinois, without whom the show would be possible. And as Fritz Kagi, Donald Trump, and Michael Girardi will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Have a great weekend, everybody.